Hey, hey, it's Margaret B. with Bicycle Indiana. Thanks for tuning in. I'm really excited about this week's episode. It's with two great guys out of the Winona, Warsaw area. That one I got to spend a lot of days a couple weeks ago with them during their big event. But we're going to talk about the big festival that happens in May up in Winona Lake, Warsaw, in Kosciuszko County. I hope I said that right. But it's called the Fat and Skinny Tire Festival. So I really hope everyone enjoys this discussion. They talk about the history, how they bring in people for tourism, as well as just getting people on bikes. And it's not necessarily all about racing and riding, but there's so many people that come in from different areas of the state and maybe outside of Indiana that just come in to eat, walk around, visit the shops, and be part of this magical event. So I really hope you enjoy it. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. First off, yes, welcome to the podcast. It's super new to me still, but I'm recording some great discussions with some great people that I've met over the years. And if you're new, please go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Please join, become a member. With our memberships, it allows us to do what we do, which is advocate as well as educate about cycling, bike safety, and anything resource-wise when it comes to bikes across the state of Indiana, as well as go to our Facebook and social media, Instagram. We've got a lot of great posts, a big calendar for different rides and events that are happening, as well as just some great content, right? We love images and posting about the great things that are happening across the state. So super excited about this discussion. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. You get to hear a story and you'll hopefully hear it later here. But it's about a pooper truck, a porta potty truck getting stuck in a field. So you'll hear my story and the fun about that. All right. I hope you enjoy and have a great day. All right. Good morning. Margaret B here. Super excited. Bicycle Indiana. We got a new podcast. I've got two great individuals on the call today that I'll introduce here, or they'll introduce themselves, but super excited to talk about the Fat and Skinny Tire Festival that is hosted up in Winona Lake. And it's really great to have these two here. So I'm going to let these two gentlemen introduce themselves, and I'll start, I guess, with you, Mike.
Hi, it's Mike Cusick. I am the president of KCV Cycling. We host the Fat and Skinny Tire Fest. I'm also a co-director of the event, and I think I have been since number 11, and we just finished number 19.
Nice, nice. Greg?
Yeah, I'm Greg Demopoulos. I'm the co-founder of KCV, who puts on Fat and Skinny Tire Fest, co-founder of the festival, and co-director since the beginning, 2004.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and we just had the 19th. Festival, which I was just up at, which was really great. I always love coming up to the area and seeing what your group does to bring the community together, especially on bikes. So it's really exciting for you to be here. I'm really stoked to talk about kind of the history as well as a lot of the different ins and outs of this big community festival. But first, I guess let's start off. I'll just put you on the spot, Greg, but like, tell me who you are, what's going on? Like, how did you get into the club and putting on the event?
So Greg Demopoulos, as I said, and really, I mean, it starts way back in late 1996. I came and did a visit in Warsaw at a bike company. If people remember the company Sun Ringlay, they're owned by Hayes Brakes now. And they used to be here in Warsaw, and I needed to do an internship. I was at Ball State. I was president of the cycling club and the Ball State cycling team back in 1995, 6, and 7. And I was doing an internship for graphic design, marketing, public relations, and came up and did a visit because the marketing guy at Sun left to go to Tire Rack, and they were scrambling to try to find somebody. And I had sent emails back in the fall looking for an internship. And so Fast forward to coming up to the visit, and next thing you know, I've got an internship at Sun, and never left the area. As soon as I finished school, packed up, moved up here, started working at Sun, got to know a lot of the cycling community here. There was already a bit of a community. There was a bike shop in downtown Warsaw. The Gast family had Tarkio Road, and there was also the trails. The Winona Lake mountain bike trails had just been started, 1995. So I got to know a lot of those folks, and through the work at Sun, we started sponsoring the build of the trails to make sure that those finished up properly. Got to know a lot of those folks, a lot of the folks from the bicycling community. And in, I think I want to say 1999, we actually held a time trial with Dino. It was like a trial run. And then in 2000, Brian came up and ended up holding a Dino. So Dino race has been here longer than the festival. And that really kind of sparked a fire in the community, and just trying to get organized. We also have this Kosciuszko Leadership Academy is something that a lot of the leaders in the community, for people that don't know, Warsaw, Winona Lake area, Kosciuszko County is considered the orthopedic capital of the world. So a lot of the large orthopedic companies are here. So you have a lot of people that are coming in and leaving town, and a lot of smart people that are up here. And so the Kosciuszko Leadership Academy provides opportunities for people to do projects, to look at the community, and to see, hey, what kinds of things can be done to help the community. And but it also provides leadership opportunities and research opportunities for people in the community to be part of that. And there was a project in the KLA group 1 year about doing greenways, creating a greenway system. That was the Lake City Greenway project. And over the course of a few years in the early 2000s, those things started to kind of blend together. People started talking more and more about it. In Winona Lake, there was a resurgence. A lot of the homes, if you've ever been in the village at Winona where the festival is centrally located, a lot of those shops were houses up on the hill, and they got brought down on cranes and placed in that locale. And they really started to revitalize the village area as well. And that's where stuff really started to take off, because then the Gast family got asked to put a bike shop down in the village. They wanted a mix of arts, restaurants, the bike shop, because the trails were literally half a mile down the road from the village. And in 2002, we started talking. For those that are on the road scene may remember, Frankie Andreu was a U.S. Postal Service rider, raced in the Tour de France multiple times, I think 9 or 10 times. But his wife needed to have a hip redone. And so they came and were doing some work with one of the orthopedic companies. So one of our co-founders, Jim Lancaster, worked at DePew at the time. Made a deal with Frankie that, why don't you come down and come to the bike shop and do a behind the scenes of professional road racing. Yeah. And so in 2003, we packed out Trail House with over 250 people inside the shop to listen to Frankie do this behind the scenes. And that's actually how KCV was started. That was like our first official event and activity, where we created a logo, we did promotional materials, and started the process of becoming a nonprofit, because we were full bore on, let's do this. So to
pause for a second, because I feel like we need to first describe the town, and maybe Mike can jump in here and kind of describe the town for our listeners. Because if you have been up to Winona Lake, and I always tell people when I go up, it's just this really strong community, and it's very accessible for walking and riding. So Mike, do you want to kind of describe the town for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. It's, I won't go into all the history, or at least at this point, but I've lived here since about 2006. And Winona Lake is a small community. It borders a lake, go figure with the name, and also the city of Warsaw. But it's real, you know, it has a long history as a vacation spot. There's actually Grace College is here. It's got some historical religious institutions as well. So it kind of has built up over time as this small community that is very walkable. Greg talked a little bit about the revitalization of the village, but what came along with that, the leaders of the council for Winona Lake have really focused on what are the other amenities that are going to be good for the residents. So we have, when I first moved here, I'm not sure we had a greenway, but they quickly developed the Lake City Greenway through the middle of the dirt trails through an easement. And since then have continued adding on probably about 5 or 6 miles total with additional greenways planned as well. So you've really ended up with this kind of small geographical area with tons of greenways. They're trying to connect all the communities. You can get into down to the village or to the lake very easily, no matter where you live in town. And just that coupled with an influx of a few nice restaurants, a few nice shops, it really, not sure what else to say about it other than it's really turned into a just a really small, pleasant little town that a lot of people will come and visit. And a lot of people choose to stay as well, yeah. Just because it's got a strong community feel. I can ride down the Greenway and I'll see 10 people I know in an hour time frame, right? And just catch up with people. And so it's really a great little community that really fosters engagement with each other.
Absolutely agree with that. And you talked a little bit about the Dinos race series. And for our listeners, I do have a scheduled talk with Dino, which is, you might have to correct me, it's doing Indiana Off-Road Racing or something. Yep. Is that what? I should probably look it up. But Brian's a great guy and he runs a big mountain bike series and trail running series. But we'll talk about that in another episode. That's a great description of the town. I 100% agree. I think the community has put in a lot of hard work and to where it's at. But speaking of Winona Lake and Warsaw, I was told this past weekend, and we're going to talk about your recent event, there is a big difference between Warsaw and Winona Lake, right? I don't know if anyone wants to, whoever wants to take that question, but explain the difference.
Well, so Winona Lake is considered a village. It's a town on the east side of Winona Lake, as Mike was saying. Warsaw is a city. So you have a difference of about 15,000 people. I mean, Warsaw is probably closer to 20,000 people. Winona Lake's closer to 5,000 people. There is a bit of a, at times, socioeconomic division there a little bit. People will consider Winona Lake as Pleasantville. Not that Warsaw is blighted by any means. It's just more populated and more packed in. And so there's a lot more effort that goes into getting land access, to being able to build trail through downtown. We're still working on a project to complete going from the far east side of Winona Lake to the far west side of Warsaw. There is a little bit of a difference, but both of them are great partners. Again, going back to 1996 when I, moved here and getting to know people, there's a little bit of a friendly competition, certainly now with the village. And doing things in the village at times can be a bit easier because it's smaller and there's less civic and government groups that you have to work through and go through. We can make 2 phone calls in Winona Lake to try to get some decisions made. It's going to be a couple council meetings and, half a dozen phone calls and whatnot for Warsaw. And that's, I think you're going to see that anywhere, especially that Mike right. and, Mike's on the new county parks board. And we're seeing that just with working with multiple organizations, multiple communities, the county. You know, you have a lot more people to work with. And so I think it just, you know, it adds a different level of communication and challenges, and but those are natural. We've figured out how to work through those in the last 25 years.
Right. So let's kind of transition into this past weekend. You had a huge event, the Fat and Skinny Tire Festival, the 19th event. But first, here's the question. Am I going to talk about, ask you about KCV first or the KVC? I'm sorry, I'm saying KCV, KVC. Yes, or are we KCV. Talking about,
you're right.
Huh?
You're right. It's KCV.
KCV.
Yeah. Yep.
Should I ask what that is first, or should we just dive into the Fat and Skinny or both? I mean, maybe Mike or I don't know, whoever wants to take that question.
Well, Casey, think of it this way. KCV, you know, like we think of it this way. The NFL is football, right? And then they have the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So KCV is our parent organization, and we put on Fat and Skinny Tire Fest as our Super Bowl. That's our huge, big event to bring people into the community, to bring the community together, to celebrate. We call it our all-size tires shindig.
Yeah, so, I like that.
And that's really what it is. But the rest of the year, KCV is still working with the parks boards, with the Ridewalk Initiative, with other organizations and events, maintaining the trails the rest of the year outside of just that weekend. So it's the parent organization. It's the actual nonprofit that focuses on advocacy, awareness, and activities.
Sure. And I would say the festivals are a vehicle that creates the awareness of how great bicycles are in a community and the benefits they have to a community, whether it's health, mental, physical, all those elements. So again, I think Greg hit on it. It's our Super Bowl, but it really drives the awareness of everything else we do. And again, kind of drives awareness of everything that is great about bikes.
Sure. And what does KCV stand for, Mike?
That's Kosciuszko County Velo. So,
I'm glad you could say it, not me. It's like,
well, it's, you know, living in this county for almost 20 years, I still stumble over the pronunciation sometimes and the spelling, but that's what it is. So, we shorten it to KCV. That works just as well.
Unless you talk to somebody who is Polish and comes from Poland, and then they'll correct you and say, you guys have the American enunciation.
Oh.
It's actually Kosciuszko.
Oh,
it's like, whoa, sorry.
right.
But we live in Indiana where I don't think any foreign name is actually pronounced appropriately. So
that's fair. So the KCV Club is putting on the big event, Fat and Skinny. So who wants to dive right into that topic of what, for our listeners who have no idea, have never heard of this event? I mean, I hadn't until what, last year, maybe the previous year, but I mean, it blows my mind every time I come up. So I don't know who wants to take that one.
I can start a little bit. And I think it is a festival, but it is 15 plus events rolled into one. And, you know, we have road racing and mountain bike racing. We have a countryside tour. We have a ton of kids racing, kids activities. We have casual tours around the village and the, you know, the town of Winona Lake. We have live music and bands. So
food.
It's not
food.
Just, what's that?
You have food, lots of food.
Yep.
Plenty of food. Trucks. So it's really grown into this, but it's, I guess it is a bit of a Super Bowl where you're coordinating all these other elements together to really pull off over 2.5-3 days.
Sure.
Yeah, it's and it's, to Mike's point, it has grown a lot. The first year, so going back to my time at Sun, I had the opportunity to go out to the early years of Sea Otter. So anybody that follows bike racing knows the Sea Otter Classic in the spring is a big multi-day, multifaceted, all things bicycling event out in California. And so came back from there. And really, it was that meeting with Frankie that solidified it for us, because we were sitting around the dinner table with him, our other co-founders, Alan Aldifer, Jim Lancaster, and Robbie Gast and myself. We were having dinner with him, and we just were talking about the Sea Otter Classic. And he said, you know, you could always do a smaller version here in your community if you want to try to really raise awareness for bicycling with your decision makers. Just do a few of the events and make it more than just if the Dino series and the mountain bike race is already successful, but it's back in the woods and people don't see it, they don't know it unless they're really involved. What if you did a crit race on your island in Winona Lake? And what if you had a band and invited a couple food trucks? And that's really how it started. It started with the Dino race on Saturday, live music on Saturday night with some kids' activities. And then Sunday we did the crit race on the island. And it was like, you know, 25 volunteers, mostly all of our families. And we had a great turnout just for the first one. And then we kept building on it and kept building on it and adding events to everything from historical tours to, you know, kids' safety clinics. And the casual tour came a couple years later. And it's grown from there. And continues. So we just try to refine it, get better each year.
What I love is it's not just racing. You know, you can come in and you can just walk around. You can just go shopping. You can go to the mountain bike trails, even if the race is, you know, done on Sunday, and you can do the touring ride, or you can just ride around, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. There's something for everyone, even from young to old, and every type of bike, every type of, you know, human that wants to come and participate. So I think it's really great. So can we talk about a little bit about the numbers, not exact numbers, but obviously it's grown over the years and you've been getting more and more people involved volunteer wise. What are the numbers of participants over the years, as well as the numbers of volunteers? How has that grown and just become this great community?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, we probably, if you look at participants from the aspect of those that are actually doing some form of event, right? Whether they're competing or casually riding, not just spectators, not just there for live music. We started out probably around 350 because you basically had 200 plus in the mountain bike race, and then you had another 100 or so in the first road crit. To where now every year we expect to be around 2,000 participants. So between 3 days of road racing, mountain bike racing, the countryside tour, it's usually over 2,000 participants involved doing something, riding something during the weekend, and then thousands more. We have people. In fact, I was talking to a family that lives, and when I say at the island, it's because in Winona Lake, there's actually a canal. And so the crit course goes out onto the island. Short history lesson. They basically dredged the land in between the two that created the canal that separates the island from the main area where the village is to build up the land years ago. So anyways, when we talk about the island, it's truly an island that the race course is on. But talk to a family that they've been at every single bike festival because they have a house, they have a cabin, on the island, and they come every year. And now it's down to the grandkids.
Wow.
And the grandkids are the ones that are coming down and opening the house. They live up in Michigan and they come down every year and they open the house Bike Fest weekend,
and they love it.
They hang out on the front porch and invite people over and watch the races on Sunday. So you have a whole other group of people that's what they do. Typically, oftentimes Memorial Day is like, you know, we put our boat in. No, we've got people here that they put their boat in Bike Fest weekend, and they have people over and parties. And so, yeah, it's 300 to 2,000 plus now. And then thousands more spectating.
Thousands more spectators. And you asked a little bit about volunteers. I think we hit another record number this year of over 345.
Wow.
So what Greg was talking about, starting with 25 family members, And still a lot of family members involved as volunteers. But it, one of the things I think that makes the festival work is so much community engagement as volunteers. And, you know, we love our volunteers. We can't do the race without it. And, you know, Greg and I have always talked about the most important thing, or one of the most important things about the festival, is ensuring a great experience for everyone. And the volunteers are critical to that. So they not only help us create a great experience for all the spectators, the participants, et cetera, but we want to make sure there's a good experience for the volunteers as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, I witnessed it. So it's a great, you know, weekend. So speaking of, we kind of touched a little bit on the different activities. I don't know, Mike, if you want to give like a super cliff note version of the schedule of like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that way our listeners can kind of get a feel.
Sure. Yeah. And we try to intermix it quite a bit, but we kick off every year on the Friday, which is Bike to Work Day, you know, as part of Bike to Work Week. And that's our first day of the festival. So we'll start early in the morning, inviting people to a couple local coffee shops that are participating. Then we have a break and we officially start at 6. And that's our opening ceremonies. So one of the fun things we do is actually we start the opening ceremonies in Winona Lake, going to downtown Warsaw. So we'll do a community mass ride after the opening ceremonies. And we've had 500 to 800 participants at that at a time. But as we roll into downtown Warsaw, the riders will see an environment with a BMX stunt show about to start. We have some other activities, but the big thing is the downtown Criterium race, Twilight Criterium that night. So that's most of Friday. And of course, there's live music and bands and food trucks and some other activities there as well with some of our partner organizations downtown. Saturday is, we're a little bit everywhere in the county. So we talked about the Dino mountain bike race is on the trails. It's the start of our countryside tour, which goes from 12 to 100 mile options throughout the day. We have a number of kids activities, kids bike rodeo, safety for the kids as well. Some more BMX stunt shows, our historical tour through the town of Winona Lake. That then transitions that evening into more live music and food trucks and a tent where we host all of this. We do some awards for KCV volunteers and other people we want to recognize in the community. And then Sunday, it all becomes centered in the town of Winona Lake and that island Criterium that we talked about. So we'll start racing at 8 a.m. through about 3 p.m. through all the different categories during the day. There'll be more food trucks and beer gardens and that type of thing. But what we wrap up with, which is somewhat the most fun in some ways, are two events. We have kids races. So we get a short course for the striders and the training wheels all the way to that full loop, which is just over a half mile around the Criterium for kids up to 12 years old. So it's really a great way to start the kids young. I think we've had this year is around 175 to 180 kids participating in that. And then the final event is our Ortho Cup race. So we invite our sponsors to also race beach cruisers, single speed beach cruisers on the Criterium course. And they do it in a four-person relay. And so it's a great way to recognize these sponsors. It's a great way to have your friends out there and the community involved. And it can be very entertaining because it gets highly competitive. And there's not a lot of people used to spinning a beach cruiser at about 120 RPM a few minutes straight. So that's a brief overview. I probably forgot more than a few things in some of the other events, but I don't know, Greg, you can add anything to that, but that's a
yeah, there's also the BMX race and four cross on Saturday afternoon. So Higher Park is our local BMX track and they host a BMX race, but then they also invite mountain bikers out as well. And they'll rack them up four at a time and they get to race on
that's awesome.
BMX track. So there's four cross. And then we also have the road race south of town out in Claypool, which you know, Margaret.
So I did attempt that. It was fun.
Yeah.
So I knew I forget a couple of main ones. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no worries. You know,
one of the problems we have is we always want to add more events. And Greg and I are have been pretty strong in saying, you know, we don't want to overextend our planning committee. We don't want to overextend our volunteers. So if we are going to add anything, does it make sense to take something away or to modify something so you can get that combined effect? Because it'd be very easy to keep adding events, but we only have so much time in the weekend. And again, we don't want to tax our committee or the volunteers too deeply at this point.
Yeah, and it goes back to like what Mike said, we want everyone to have a great experience. And so if we spread ourselves too thin, we're concerned that that experience, you know, there's sacrifice there and we don't want to do that.
Right, right. So from hearing all this description, everything, it sounds like your weekend went great, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always the little things behind the scenes that people don't see and know. But for the first time in 12 years, we had great weather all weekend. In fact, it was funny. I kept hearing from racers that would come up to me out at the road race, and they have been coming for years. And it was tongue in cheek as they're telling me this, you know, laughing about, I don't want to complain, but it's a little hot.
And I know, it was very warm.
Yes, and they were, but they're like, they're used to, it could be cold and rainy right now. And so we're not going to complain about sunshine and heat. So
And low wind. There was hardly any wind that day too.
Yes. So, it was, that was, I think, what was the exciting part is even as I'm running into people at the grocery store last night. So here we are, that's Thursday night, you know, almost a week removed from the festival, and people are coming up and recognizing my wife and I, and, you know, and it's funny because my wife is the volunteer coordinator. So Maria, she'll run into people that I'm like, okay, I should know this person. Who are they that's talking to us? And she knows exactly when they volunteered that weekend, what they were doing, and how many times she checked in with them and talked to them. So it is, it's funny. It's, and we've continue to hear from people, such a great weekend. I mean, we had friends that have moved away and drove back to come back home to do their visit so they could be here for Bike Fest. And even they were commenting, oh man, it's been so long since you had good weather. So it definitely helped. Yeah.
Mike, were you going to say something?
I would just reiterate what Greg said. It's, you know, I thought it was spectacular overall. The weather certainly helps. You know, we'll get the racers and the participants still, no matter the weather, but it helps with the spectators, bringing them in. You know, it's funny. We talk about weather. We all live in Indiana. If you're going to have a festival in the springtime in Indiana, you're going to have to expect rain and wind and all that at some point. So, yeah, once it's been 12 years since the last one, we'll take it. But we don't always have expectations. The flip side is when it usually does rain, it might be for a few hours, or a storm cell comes through, as we all know, and then we just delay a little bit and then we can get on with the activities.
Right. Well, and luckily I know that at least the mountain bike trails are pretty sandy and they drain pretty well. But now you've jinxed yourself. So next year, you better watch out. You're going to have a rainy, cold, maybe even snowing. No, I don't want to use that word.
Yeah, that has happened. We've actually had the early years. We were the first weekend in May. I think it was around year 5 or 6 that we ended up moving to Bike to Work Day. We went a little bit later in May, but those first couple of years we had snow Saturday night. I remember we had like the kerosene and the heaters like in the tent, trying to warm up the tent because it was snowing outside. So,
oh man.
We've been
again, it's Indiana.
Everything.
It can be 40 degrees. It can be 80 plus. We hit high 80s this past weekend. So you never know.
Yeah. That's always the joke too, is people will always ask us as we get within about a week of the festival, have you seen the weather? Have you seen the forecast? And we're always joking. We're like, it doesn't matter. None of us
it's
are going to
change.
Yeah. It's going to change. None of us are really looking at it and believing it until Friday morning. And so
we
plan for the worst and hope for the best. And we got the best of this.
Six or 7 days beforehand, it was showing thunderstorms all three days.
Did.
Right. Yep. And again, it was completely clear. sunny weather the entire time. So you never know.
Well, and I think the one thing, and, you know, Mike, you can jump in on this as well, but I think for us, you know, we had this separation of a couple years. So we started, the first festival was in 2004. So people may be trying to do the math going, well, why is this only the 19th if this was 2024? Well, we took 2 years off because of COVID. We couldn't really do events. Nobody was willing to authorize the events or anything. And so so it's been a little while since we had good weather on Friday night for downtown activities. And so we have a new mayor. We had groups that we were working with that were completely new to this. And they were even curious to see, well, what's Friday night going to be like? Because we know what it's like in Winona Lake. We've done it for so many years where we've had good weather, at least part of the weekend in Winona Lake. But Friday night, you know, you have folks like the chamber and our new mayor and city council and everybody watching to see what Friday night's going to be like. And even they were blown away with how many people. I would venture to bet that that was one of the busiest Friday nights in downtown Warsaw in a very, very, very long time. So that's that to us, that's kind of a bit of a pat on the back for everybody that's part of the planning committee and all our volunteers, because it worked out and we were able to not only showcase bicycling from a physical aspect, but from the social and economic aspect. That's a huge thing as well, because we do get some grant money from the county because of the hotel tax that we have. And portions of that hotel tax are then allowed to be used from nonprofit organizations that are bringing people into town to put events on. And so that helps us as well. So that was a big win just to see Friday night packed downtown.
Definitely. So my next question, and I don't know who wants to jump in on this one, but what are your future goals? What are the future things for next year? I'm sure you're already planning. I know what event production is like. You end an event and you have a list of things that you need to deal with and improve on. So I don't know if Mike or, you know, Greg, whoever wants to take that one.
Well, I think we're still in the postmortem of, without a doubt, we're thinking about next year, but what we do right now is we want to get feedback from each of the different committee leaders and activity leaders to really understand what worked and what didn't. And we've talked a couple of times. We want a great experience. And, you know, being so deeply involved, Greg and I do hear about the few incidents that weren't great. And some of those things can just happen, but other things are things we can think about, things we can improve, we can address to make better for everyone moving forward. So we're a little bit in that time period right now of just understanding what went really well, what could be worked on. And then I think we'll get a little deeper into next year. I think next year, just to hit on it, it's our 20th. It's a big milestone. So we want to make some big fanfare and promote it even harder and get even more people there. Not exactly sure what we're going to be adding or if anything to do that, but we're going to be putting a lot of effort in over the next couple months to kind of get that set so that we can really put a, you know, large effort with our planning committee, our promotion, our marketing, et cetera, to really to make number 20 a great year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to add to that, I hate to use the term plateau, because I think that can sometimes, you know, have a misperception to it. But going back to, if we can't do something really well, we're probably not going to add things. And so right now, I think we're probably, and Mike can speak to this a little bit, you know, when you ask the future, Lord willing, if Mike and I are still around, if we have additional infrastructure, right? We have further greenways, we're able to connect to other communities. You know, the challenge we run into is we're literally divided, right? Our community is literally divided right down the middle by State Road 15 and US 30. So that provides its own challenges, especially when we're trying to plan out events and activities and where do we send people to ride and what is the location of events and those kinds of things. Those are things we have to take into consideration. If we get past some of those things where we know people can safely get across 15 or safely get across 30, and we have additional infrastructure because we have some beautiful lakes in this community. That's what we're known for. That's why everything around here is called Lake City this and Lake City that. And so there's a beautiful countryside outside of Warsaw and Winona Lake that we would love to eventually expand to. But we got to be able to do that safely, and we got to be able to do that well. And so I see that maybe a few years down the road. You know, Mike is on, like I said, is on the County Parks Board, and we're working on a master plan for greenways and blueways. And so we want to see what comes of that. And that could potentially be some opportunities for us to expand and go different places and do things in different communities. But right now for 20 next year, it's pouring through what is now the comments and suggestions list is sitting at like 5.5 pages. And
we
we still have some event directors that need to get their notes back to us. And so we take all of those really serious. We keep that. And when we'll kind of finish up paperwork and logistics and things right now, and then we'll take a month or two off. Like, everyone just let your brains rest for a bit. And then come September, October, we're basically pouring back through those 6, 7, 8 pages of notes going, okay, let's start thinking for next year. What do we need to do differently? What do we need to do better? What was this comment about? Was there anything that we could do, or did that just happen circumstantially? You know, so you pour through all of those very seriously and you get started for the next one.
Mike, you want to add anything? Or
yeah, since we're a little bit of future planning there, you know, if we have safe routes and safe crossovers of some of the state highways, one of the other big initiatives right now for KCV is to develop the land that we just acquired next to the Winona Lake trails.
Oh, that's right.
So,
yeah.
So we acquired, you know, the trails are, I think, on about 130 or 140 acres. We acquired 15 acres next to them. We've already started utilizing it as our main trailhead, especially for events. Because we can put up tents, we can have start finish lines, we have a lot of room for parking. But what we want to do with it is, or what we are going to do with it is develop the Winona Lake Bike Park. And so I'll have a pump track, skills line, expansion of the trails. We hope to expand the greenway system through the property to give access to some different neighborhoods. And as we start having that, you know, I think that's prime opportunity. How do we expand some potential events using the new bike park? You know, is it a pump track competition? Is it a, you know, skills line competition? How do we incorporate that? Which I think makes perfect sense, because it would be one of our assets, one of our facilities that we're already bringing people to and we want to highlight. So I think that's another area of potential. An area of potential expansion for the festival in the future.
Well, for all those listening that remember the old field, and I know you two remember, I sure remember it because I got a porta potty truck stuck in the back. And I remember people were so mad at me. And for all those listening, this field that they used to use for the start, and Dean O'Brien, I know if he's listening, he will know exactly what I'm talking about. It was just really soft. And there were certain areas in this particular chunk of land that you used to use, you just couldn't like drive any vehicle. So imagine, I got a truck with porta potty stuck in the back of it, and I thought I was in such big trouble. But anyway, your new field is great. It's a huge asset to your trails, and I know it brings a lot more, you know, value, and especially for the production level and safety for mountain bike racing.
It's also great. Yeah. It's highly visible.
Yes.
So now we have an event and we'll have a few hundred cars plus a tent to start finish
line
right off the main road
camping
into town. Yeah. Whereas before, that old meadow you're talking about, which was only about 4 acres, was hidden back there. And so again, you know, Greg talked about just, you know, part of the festival was creating more visibility. And I think that's great for visibility of bicycles overall, is having the facility right off a main access road into the town of Winona Lake.
And it stays much drier, to your point,
yes.
Margaret.
Yeah.
I so appreciate the fact that I'm not out there filling in ruts and planting grass seed year after year after year. Cause that, yes, that it was a blessing that we had it. But all it had to do was drizzle and you were going to get stuck in certain spots. Mm-hmm. So this is a much better opportunity and location for us at the new Hoff Trailhead.
For as great as our trails are and sandy for draining quickly, that original meadow was a low point almost at the lake level. Whereas we're on the other side of the trails at almost the highest point. And we're on an old farming field that has drainage tile. And so it's just a completely different scenario.
No more pooper trucks stuck in any fields. Thank goodness for that piece of land.
Amen.
So now for our listeners and even, you know, people that live in the area, how do you get involved? How would somebody get involved if they wanted to either race, volunteer, like how can they go about that?
The best thing often is, there's several ways. So shoot us a message through either our social media at KCV or Fat and Skinny or even Winona Lake Trails, depending on what you want to do. You can also fill out a contact us form on the websites. But every other month, we also have a public meeting. We'll announce the location. Oftentimes it's at Matt Anthony's in their back meeting room on a Tuesday evening. Other times it's down in the village by Trail House. And we'll have different topics, but those are great ways if you want to actually meet people personally. Trail work days are often a great way as well. We'll do trail work days. We've got a maintain a mile team. So if you want to be part of a team that goes out and does trimming and weed eating of the trails, group rides. Barry and the team at Trail House do group rides a couple times a week, and that's always a central location. So there's multiple ways where you can get in touch with us and even get to meet a bunch of the folks that are either part of the board or part of the planning committee. And it's a small town, so we're really accessible. And outside of planning, we're typically out there trying to ride ourselves as well. So love to take people out for a ride and get to know them and introduce them to others. And that's how all of us got started. It was just a matter of starting to meet people and going from there.
I think one of the great things about our bike community, I think everything that Greg just talked about is a great way to bike locally. But when you start meeting some of our cyclists in the community, it's incredibly active with different types of cycling. So you go mountain biking on these trails, you can do group rides, you can meet other people who commute locally, but we have pretty large groups that do a ton of bike packing around the U.S. that go to a ton of downhill parks around the U.S. that will do touring, that will do kind of destination mountain biking. It's, you know, someone's always going down to Brown County or going up into Michigan or even for, you know, down to North Carolina. So if you're, you know, if someone's interested in biking more and kind of expanding how they do it in different ways, then that's a great way to meet the people who do that. And I think, you know, for another example is we have a group of us that are doing Bicycle Indiana, and that's one of our groups, but actually there's three different groups in town also, you know, doing Ragbri. And so again, another good example of we have passionate cyclists that like to cycle wherever they can.
Sure. I met a guy at Bear Roubaix, the gravel race in Michigan, and we were shivering together at the start, and he had a KCV kit on, and I go, hey, I'm going to be there in a little bit. And he said, his name is Drew. And I told him I was going to come up and help and race and whatever. And it was just nice to see a fellow Hoosier shivering at the start line of a gravel race. Right. So I'm going to, a couple more questions. I promise you, I won't drill any more questions, but if you could give any advice to somebody or an organization such very similar to yours, any advice for them to put on an event, is if there's a couple tidbits of advice, what could that be?
I would, looking back at the beginning, it was about relationships and the stakeholders, the people that are going to play a strategic role in whether that is authorizing your event or helping you put it on or helping fund it. Build those relationships first. I mean, we were fortunate enough to where, you know, Jim Lancaster was active in the orthopedic community. Robbie Gast, his family owned the bike shop. Alan Aldifer was a former pro and Cat One cyclist, but financially and community wise, he was connected to everybody. So build a strong team around you, people that are connected, decision makers, get them bought in, because that's what paved the way for us. There's no way we could have done it if we were starting from scratch and just go out and do it. Like,
right.
It took a little bit of time, and it also even took a little coercion from those government officials that were like, yeah, let's try it. Let's, you know, they were willing to go with us and let us try it and let us screw a few things up and continue to hone in on it. But you wanna at least take the proper time to plan it out and build those relationships and then run with it and make tweaks from there. That's ultimately what I look back on and think we were right place, right time with the right people. And it came together. It was a huge blessing back then. And I don't know if, you know, we'd have just been a group of cyclists trying to do this and just get it done, if it would have actually happened without right. those relationships.
Right.
Yeah, I would just add, I agree with all that. But it takes time, right? It does. You don't do these things overnight. KCV is in its 21st year. The festival's in its 20th year. I wasn't around for the very beginning, but I know it didn't look like it does today from the size mm-hmm. of the organization, the support that we have in the community and community leaders. So that's one piece of it. And I think if someone's starting an event, don't try to go too big either, right? We kind of hit on that earlier. You know, understand kind of the capacity of your group to do something and to do it extremely well, and pick that one or two things and do it extremely well, and then build off that. Better to have one thing done well than trying to do multiple things and none of them are all that great. And you build on that success, and, you know, kind of Greg hit on it earlier, you have a successful event and then the community leaders see, well, wait a minute, you know, there's a lot of community involved here. They're excited. There's a social aspect. There's an economic aspect that's happening here. You know, those are the little things that you can continue to build on to expand your event and your engagement of the community over time.
Sure.
Yeah, I would even, you know, and that's a great point, Mike. I think especially, it's so funny because I think back to those early years, there was no social media. So, you know, I think we realize, you know, with social media, we can quickly get into these comparison traps where we see all the other events and activities and we're comparing everything. And I think it's important to remember, like, just focus on your own. Start small, to Mike's point. Do it really well. And see what happens from there, continue to grow from there. But again, went goes back a lot of it to what we were saying about, we just want people to have a great experience. And until we know that we've done that well, we're not going to expand to something else. So just do stuff really well and continue to hone in on it.
Well, I just texted Mike in our group chat. I said, I don't know if the Zoom call is going to end in an hour, because I set it up for an hour. So maybe that's our time or our reminder that we got to wrap this up.
Closure.
I think this is great. I think what you're doing is incredible. I appreciate all your hard work and dedication. This is a prime example of a community, landowners, you know, government type of organizations coming together to work together to bring people together and bring, you know, like you said, funding, but also just humans to an area to celebrate the great things that we have. So I applaud both of you and your crew of doing that. So before we, you know, wrap this up, I think we might have a little bit of time. It might end on us, but RagBri, are you doing RagBri, Greg, or is it just Mike and his crew?
No,
so
I'm with that
tell
group,
our listeners.
So. Oh gosh. Well, I mean, Mike, how did it start? Like, I think Fred.
So, yeah, this is a bucket list for a lot of people. And we have one of our, actually, Fred Helfrich, who's on the Bicycle Indiana board, but he's on our board as well, has done it 9 times. So he wanted to do it a 10th time. And so he kind of started talking to one or two people that have it on their list and have the free time. And so it just started growing from there. Next thing you know, it went a little broader. Everyone's looking at their schedule and saying, hey, I can make a week out of this, even if it's vacation time. So our group is 7 people right now. So we're planning a couple vehicles going out there. We are going to use one of the charter companies that's going to kind of help us with the planning and the SAGs and the things, so we don't have to worry it along the way. But like I mentioned earlier, there's 2 other groups doing their own thing out there that have done it before as well. So, yeah, we're all excited. We're all trying to get a bunch of riding and training in, just so we're not going into it too cold, if you will. And but that's where we are. We got about 6 more weeks at this point before it starts.
Nice. I just try to bump up the time a little bit just so we could end this with not just like, hey, gotta go, bye. No, but that's really exciting to hear about the store, and I can't wait to follow and see Facebook posts and other things like that. Really excited for your adventure. You know, Fred on that e-bike, you better attach a bungee cord and make him pull you, right? And eat pie and beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did a long ride yesterday, and I was a little jealous hearing that motor whir up on all the hills a little bit. But it's I think we have a couple e-bikers in our crowd and a couple people just doing it old school, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're just looking forward to it.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you two, Mike and Greg from the KCV Cycling Club, talking about the Fat and Skinny Tire Festival. To all of our listeners, if you haven't had a chance to go up to Winona Lake to watch and be part of this huge event, please do. It's always the weekend before Memorial Day. Is that correct?
Yeah, whenever Bike to Work Day is, that's our kickoff.
It's May 16th through 18th next year.
Yep.
Yes.
Join us for the 20th. It's going to be a huge party.
Oh, boy. follow them on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They've got a website. I'll plop that in the description. But gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Always a great time talking to you two. I'm sure we could cause a lot of trouble if I did join you on Ragby. That might might be fun. So appreciate you two, and I hope you have a great afternoon day.
All right. Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Margaret. Really appreciate all that Bicycle Indiana does. And you guys have been a great partner of ours going way back. So huge kudos to Bicycle Indiana. Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate it. All right. Have a great Friday.
Yep. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.